Greetings, my little oddities. Welcome to Odd Tuesdays. This is Monica Caraway from Small Biz Thoughts. If you are listening to our show on iTunes, please be sure to check out our website at oddtuesdays.com to catch this and past episodes, as well as to find links mentioned in today's show. Today, Carl talks to Associate Editor of Business Solutions Magazine, Bernadette Wilson, to discuss some of the latest articles they have featured, and one of our resident oddballs, Rianne Buccianico, joins us in our oddball segment to run through tips on how to make use of downloading bank transactions via QuickBooks. And I'll share some news in our tech news segment. First up, an update of upcoming tech events happening. The Globalization of SMB webinar series continues May 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific. Carl's next special guest is MSP business owner Vijay Nayapati from Auckland, New Zealand. Registration is free. Go to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/globalSMB. The ASCII Success Summit Tour continues May 27th and 28th in Chicago. Visit ASCII.com for more information. The Women in Technology Summit is on May 31st through June 2nd in San Jose, California. Visit witi.com/conferences for the details. The LabTech Automation Nation event is on June 1st through the 3rd in Orlando. You can learn more at automationnation.labtechsoftware.com. The Great Little Seminar online MSP classes continue, with the next course starting June 2nd. The class, Financial Processes That Make All the Difference, is being taught by QuickBooks and MSP coach Rianne Buccianico. You can learn about this and other classes in the catalog by visiting greatlittleseminar.com. You can find the full listing of MSP and tech events happening in Carl's weekly newsletter. Visit carlsnews.com to sign up. And now let's hand off to Carl and Business Solutions' Bernadette Wilson.
I'm joined now by Bernadette Wilson, who is the Associate Editor of Business Solutions Magazine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So one of the first questions I have to ask is, what is Business Solutions? I'm surprised because I've been a subscriber forever, but I find people who have never heard of it in the IT space.
There are a lot of IT magazines, but we are different. Our audience is made up of executives from IT channel companies, VARs, integrators, managed services providers, ISVs. So our content is directed at them. We want to help them to thrive. So we provide actionable information on broad topics like selling new IT products and services, penetrating vertical markets, integrating complementary or adjacent technologies. In addition to articles about working in your business, we also write about working on your business. So we look at business models or advice on pricing or how to motivate your sales team. So it's a combination of things, again, all with a focus on our audience, which is a special audience. It's a smaller audience than the broad IT audience that most people write to. So we are different.
Very nice. And you have some conferences coming up in different places. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We have our channel transitions conferences. Those are focused specifically to help people who have been using the break-fix business model transition to a managed services model, one that provides recurring revenue. And those are scheduled for June 4th in Newark, September 24th in Chicago, and November 5th in Orlando.
Very nice. And if folks use the code ODDTUESDAY at checkout, they can get a free pass, and that's at channeltransitions.com/register, and we'll put a link to that underneath the podcast notes. So tell us about, like, say, the next magazine that's coming up. What kind of things can people look forward to?
Well, the one that's on the shelf right now, our May edition from Jay McCall, entitled The Three Pillars of Managed Services Success. And it's about internet and telephone. That's a managed services provider out of the Boston area, and how they've boiled down what they consider to be three pillars that are contributing to their success. And those would be hiring for attitude, not aptitude, paying high attention to detail in their business processes, and then using business automation tools to make fact-based decisions for their business. So that's an example of one of the features that we have in our May edition.
You know, the interesting thing about the attitude is I've long had a slide in my presentations that says, keep technical prowess in its place, because you can train people to do what you want them to do. You can't necessarily train them to have the right attitude about how they should do that.
Jay quoted Pete Peterson from that company, who said they would rather have someone with mediocre technical skills and someone with exceptional people skills. And that's where, you know, a good attitude and a work ethic is far more valuable than somebody who's an IT genius. So we hear that a lot. At one of our Channel Transitions conferences, we had panelists echo the same thing, that they can train people to install software, but they can't really train them what their mother needed to teach them at home about working with people.
Exactly. Yeah, well, and, you know, it's sort of the bigger picture of culture that, you know, whether it's the attitude or it's the, you know, commitment to customer service or whatever, you have to build all that. And so sometimes you can turn attitude around, but it's much easier to get people who've already got a good attitude and fit those spaces and train them up. So let me back up just a second and let you give information about how folks can find out more about your magazine and subscribe to that if they're interested.
Sure. The easiest way would be to visit our website. That's www.bsminfo.com. And there's information at the top of the homepage on how you can subscribe. There are different ways that you can consume information. We also have email newsletters if you prefer to receive the information electronically. Those can be delivered, and also the print magazine.
So BSM is a business solutions magazine, so bsminfo.com.
That's correct.
Very cool. All righty. And then looking ahead, do you think that the magazine is covering different stuff this year than it did 2, 3, 5 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Things are changing so fast in technology and in the channel. In June, our supplement is specifically focused on EMV. And a couple of years ago, I don't think that we would have had an entire supplement devoted to that. But with this year's liability shift on October 1st, when merchants will be held responsible for fraudulent card charges if they don't have technology that's compliant with EMV, that interest is building. So it's definitely a topic that our readers want to hear about, and so we're providing that again this year.
One thing that's interesting about that for me is that I was in Australia last year, and everybody wanted a chip, and none of my cards had chips. And so then this year I come back, and my bank keeps telling me, oh, we're going to have them, we're going to have them, we're going to have them. So I'm like, okay, well, you better hurry up, because I'm going back. And when you don't have a chip in a country full of chips, you can just expect that you're going to have 2 out of 3 credit card transactions are going to fail, and then eventually one will go through, and it's completely random as far as I can tell. So it's a technology that's going to be a little bit different for us, but we're kind of late to the game in terms of Europe and Australia and other places using this technology.
Yes, absolutely. When I interviewed people for the articles for the supplement, I found some bars in Canada that were willing to share some information, because they are ahead as well. They've already transitioned. So the United States is behind other countries in making this step toward fighting card fraud. But we do have all that information to fall back on, though. We do have the advice from other countries. One of those things is the perception of the consumer, which I find pretty interesting. There are people in the United States that still don't see that it might have a lot of ROI for them. They don't see that they necessarily would have a lot of fraudulent card charges at their restaurant or at their small business. But what I understand from the people from Canada, and we've had some people also chime in that have worked in Europe, that the consumer starts to equate security with that chip,
right,
and with places that take the card with the chip. So it might be the consumer that drives it.
Well, and the way I always look at change, especially changes like this, are instead of saying, oh, I want to resist it because it's different and so forth, I see it as a way to say, well, maybe this is a time for me to get into selling credit card processing, because there's recurring revenue. And if all these people have to change out all their equipment, it might also be an opportunity to change out who their provider is, and on and on and on. So, you know, there's going to be this flood of activity. Might as well get your share. And if this is the time to get in that market, you may decide to stay in it. So that's kind of the way I approach these things.
Or if you're in the market and it's a it's a conversation starter at the very least. We had some great information from the Retail IT VAR conference last week. People were saying that if they don't necessarily feel that EMV is for them, maybe point-to-point encryption is something that they're interested in at this time, or changing out their system to include EMV, of course, but to also upgrade and provide features that they couldn't before, maybe to take different payment types like Apple Pay. So it's a good conversation starter at the very least to see if there's opportunity with existing clients and with prospects.
Yeah, and I'm also always think it's a good idea to find opportunities to educate your clients, put on little seminars that show, you know, sort of elevates you to the position of being the expert, and educating just a seminar on what is this new technology and what does it mean and how does it shift the liability. Just putting that on, even if nobody attends, they'll see you as the expert.
Right. I believe Brian Hendricks from Sequoia on the panel last week said that. He said, talk to them, show them that you understand it and that you can provide information as needed. And if they're not ready in October, you can go back in January. You know, at least they'll know you're the person to talk to because they see you as an expert.
Right. Well, you know, we've seen some things like HIPAA where there's a huge group of medical professionals that completely resist it and say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. And so there's always early adopters, and there's the big lump in the middle, and then there's people who lag on forever. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where this transition isn't going to happen one day in October. It's going to happen over several years. So it's an interesting time to look at that business as well as other stuff that's evolving as we go along. You know, the other thing that struck me from the conference last week was this perception that there's so much relying on the iPad as the tool of preference simply because you don't have to train people to use it. But at the same time, it's a consumer device and not really intended to be a secure point of sale system. It just is like taking over the world. So again, as an industry, you got to figure out, well, what do we do with that? You know, how do we make money if given that those are the facts of what's going on?
Right. That's where solutions providers can really differentiate themselves by being able to answer those questions to guide their customers not only to select the right hardware in the operating system, but to make it work in the way that they want it to. So it's going to be the right choice for some people and not for others, and that's where our readers come in.
Well, I love your magazine, and I encourage folks to go to bsminfo.com and sign up. And it's a great resource, and I appreciate you putting it out there. And thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. It's my pleasure.
And now in today's Oddball segment, we have Rianne Buccianico, who shares some of her QuickBooks tips for MSPs.
Hello everyone, Rayanne here from ABC Solutions in sunny Clearwater, Florida, bringing you this week's Oddball segment with a QuickBooks tip for you. Today I would like to talk about QuickBooks bank feeds. Regardless of which QuickBooks version you are using, QuickBooks has the ability to download bank transactions for easy reconciliation on a daily or weekly basis, or however often you would like. QuickBooks Online has a direct connection to your bank account and updates the feeds daily automatically. QuickBooks Desktop requires a manual download of the bank transactions in one of two forms, Direct Connection or Web Connect. Web Connect is the concept of downloading transactions in a .qbo file from your bank account and importing them manually into QuickBooks. This is helpful when your bank does not offer a direct connection or charges a monthly fee for it. The Web Connect files are almost always free. To set up the bank feed for your bank or credit card account, under the Banking menu, click Bank Feeds. Enter your bank's name and you will be given an option to use the Direct Connect method if it's available with your bank, or you will be given instructions on using Web Connect to manually download and import your transactions. The bank feeds feature of QuickBooks is not designed to replace good bookkeeping habits. It's designed to help manage your cash flow by allowing you to quickly review your QuickBooks entries against bank transactions to keep your book balances accurate. Sometimes a few transactions slip through the cracks, so it's important to continue performing monthly reconciliations in the reconcile window in QuickBooks, even though you're using the bank feed. Another challenge with bank feeds are transactions that are already reconciled in the reconcile screen and old transactions that just need to go away from the bank feed window. Here's how you do it. First, in QuickBooks Desktop, make sure your preferences are set properly. You will need administrative rights in QuickBooks to do this. In the Edit menu, click Preferences and choose Checking from the list on the left. Click on the Company Preferences, and in the Bank Feed section, choose Express Mode rather than Classic Mode. Next, go to the Bank Feed Center under the Banking menu. Open the transaction list to show the items needing removal. Click the boxes for each item to be removed. If you need to remove all of them, click the box at the top of the column heading to choose all. Then scroll to the bottom of the screen, and in the Bulk Actions drop-down menu, choose Ignore, then Save. And voila, all those old transactions are just magically gone. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's segment on QuickBooks Bank Feeds. As always, if you have a topic you would like covered in a future segment, feel free to contact me by emailing me at rayanne@abcsolutionsfl.com. Thank you for joining this week's Oddball segment. Until next time, this is Rayanne with ABC Solutions signing off.
Next, I'm talking to my brother, Manuel, about his presentation at the SMB Online Conference, and that is taking your business to level 3.0. Welcome, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Very good. So did I miss one and two? How do we get to level 3? What is level 3?
Well, the reason I picked level 3 for the name of the title is everybody, when they start out a business, they're at level 1. That's a given. It's granted. And if they've made it past that horrible boundary of around 5 years where most small businesses cease to exist or they don't even make it through that, they're a solid level 2. They've moved away from being just reactive to everything that their clients need from them and how they run their business, and they're starting to see the light of being proactive in how they manage their clients. But level 3 is the next logical level that many small companies don't realize is next. And I want to show them how to get there with intention.
All righty. And you have a specific methodology that you use, and you call it Agile Business?
It's called Business Agile Strategy Execution. And I actually picked a cute acronym for a reason. I think about your pyramid of purpose and value, you know, where you have your mission, your vision, and your values. And this tool that I want to talk about and the concepts are built around Agile, and I'm using an Agile project portal to manage the business roadmap and strategy, so I kind of aptly named it Business Agile Strategy Execution. The acronym is BASE, and it's at the bottom of the pyramid, and it's what everything that you do for your business, all your strategies and operating systems and everything else are stacked on top of.
Very nice. So at the SMB Online Conference, you're going to be talking about this. Is this something that's specific to people in our business, or is this a much broader concept that you're bringing into the SMB space?
I think it's a broader concept. I know that one of the things that's going to come along with this wonderful innovation that I've come up with is that I think it's going to change how peer groups and business groups and in business improvement groups everywhere manage the strategy for their clients. And I think it would be the same if you had a pizza shop or an MSP, because the innovation is about the tool we use and how we apply the agile methodology to our business strategy. And so, no, it's not just for the MSPs. It's for any size business anywhere.
All right. Can you give us a really quick example of, like, what does it mean to use an agile strategy?
Well, I don't want it to be just a buzzword, but agile at its core means that you have continuous incremental improvement and that you work on little pieces of groups of things together to cause or create the release or the next version of something. So imagine, let's say, your service delivery, and you have a bunch of things that you need to fix about your service delivery. And if you've laid out a good plan, you have a laundry list of these things, you pick out a handful that you can get accomplished this quarter, this business quarter, given the time, energy, and resources that you have within your company, and you execute on that, and that gets your service delivery to the next level, whether it's an incremental level or a very large, you know, brand level, such as 3.0 or 4.0. And so agile at its simplest is taking and working in small groups of collected related issues, resolving them, and creating the next mini version of whatever it is you're working on. And again, continuous incremental improvement means you continue to work to the next level again and again, and it's basically never ending.
Right. So it sounds almost like the newest kind of way that software is developed, where they have the, instead of having a new version every 3 years, they have these tiny little increases, like 4 or 5 times in a calendar quarter.
Right. They refer to them as iterations, and your business, the way I put it, I think it's exactly the same. You have different categories for your business, your marketing, your finance, your service delivery, and each of those aspects of your business has got its own little life cycle, just like a piece of software, and that's exactly why I selected agile methodology, because it makes sense. We're continually creating a new iteration of what that looks like, our service delivery or our marketing system or our sales system or our human resources, and it makes it very easy to break down what, the strategy and the roadmap of your business and see it graphically, especially when you use an agile project tool. And by the way, the old term was, they called it waterfall projects, where you would take time and energy and you'd throw it at a thing, this project, until it's done. And it's really great for skyscrapers, but when it comes to software, and I think when it comes to your business strategy and roadmap, the agile project methodology is absolutely ideal.
Well, the interesting thing that comes into mind for me is that, you know, we have so many prospects and clients who they want to put in all of their processes and procedures at once, right? So, boom, they hand a 300-page book to their employees and say, all right, we're doing this Monday. Well, that never works, right? Where on the other hand, if you have the strategy, we say, okay, on Monday, we're going to start working in real time. We've been working up to this for 3 months, and beginning Monday, boom, it's 100% real time. And then the next week, okay, we're going to start perfect documentation. And the next week, this is how we're going to label equipment from now on. And it might take you a long, long time to implement it, but people aren't overwhelmed because they're only making one change at a time, 50 changes a year.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and when we were working together at KP Enterprises and we were building documentation, the terminology I really never connected the two, but that's what we have always done. We write a piece of documentation and we go there, okay, and you pass it to a technician and you say, every time you touch it, make it better. Add something to it, add in some extra steps or whatever. And that's how we grew the checklists for our network migration workbook and many of the things. And it's a very natural way of creating content and systems. It's just that I'm throwing a name on it, and I'm saying there are certain rules that you'll follow that will literally drive your success for your business roadmap and strategy. If you follow what I'm telling you and you use this tool, it becomes systematic success driven by the agile methodology and the right tools.
Very cool. Well, we're honored to have you back again this year at the SMB Online Conference. You've been a regular contributor and very highly rated speaker. So how can folks get a hold of you between now and June?
Well, the easiest way is to hit my website at www.manuelpalachuk.com. And as long as you can spell my name right, you can find me on any of the social media using that same handle, Manuel Palachuk. That's Google+, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.
And the beautiful thing about the Internet is people can find you much more easily than they can find John Smith, because your name is Manuel Palachuk.
Right. There's only one of those.
All righty. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to the event.
And now for today's tech news, brought to you by neowin.net. A 6-year-old boy from the United Kingdom has become one of the youngest people in the world to pass a Microsoft exam, earning himself a Microsoft Office Specialist certification. Hamza Shasad's parents have always been keen to promote technology in their son's life, giving him a smartphone at the age of just 2. 6 months later, he got his first laptop, and it seems that his father, an IT consultant, and his mother, a teacher, have been encouraging him to learn about tech ever since. As BBC News reports, Hamza took the exam for Word 2013 and passed with flying colors. Although that report erroneously claims that he is now a Microsoft certified professional after passing that exam. In fact, his qualification means that he is now a Microsoft Office specialist and has a certificate of excellence to prove it. But as the Microsoft Learning site explicitly states, passing MOS exams do not qualify you for MCP certification. However, we shouldn't let such details overshadow Hamza's remarkable achievement at such a young age, having passed an exam which is usually taken by adults seeking to improve their knowledge of Microsoft applications. Despite his impressive capacity for learning about Office, it seems that Hamza has much loftier ambitions. He says when he grows up, he wants to be a pilot. Starbucks and Spotify have announced a deal to bring wide integration between the two companies, including free Spotify premium memberships of unknown length to all 150,000 Starbucks employees in the U.S., followed by Canada and the U.K. shortly thereafter. Spotify users will have the ability to influence music playing at their local Starbucks, as well as ways to collect My Starbucks rewards. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz describes the deal as yet another step in a long history of involvement in music. Throughout its history, Starbucks has worked closely with the music industry, offering a variety of artists a platform for their work. By connecting Spotify's world-class streaming platform into our world-class store and digital ecosystem, we are reinventing the way our millions of global customers discover music. The press released by Spotify is filled with praise about Starbucks' involvement with the music industry, as well as details about how some portions will work. The ability to influence in-store playlists will be rolling out this fall using tools developed by Spotify and accessible through the Starbucks mobile app, for instance. This partnership will also be the first time that Starbucks has offered access to their loyalty program to a third party, indicating how wide this integration will likely go. This seems like no negatives for anyone, with Starbucks employees getting free Spotify memberships and an interesting jukebox-like service running through the Starbucks mobile app, as well as Spotify getting a ton of free press by advertising in Starbucks stores across the three areas. It is not mentioned what will be happening with the existing Starbucks deals with Apple, where they offer free songs and apps to customers, but it seems to be just one more victory in the competition for music fans. A recent study has revealed that students get better test results if they are banned from using their smartphones. Researchers at the London School of Economics conducted the study by examining test scores of 130,000 students in 91 British schools that employed smartphone usage policies. They examined how these policies have evolved since 2001 and then compared it with the results of the national exams of 16-year-old students. The study has discovered that in line with the ban on using cell phones, test results of students improved by at least 6.4%, with underachieving students' results soaring by 14%. Researchers told CNN that the results suggest that low-achieving students are more likely to be distracted by the presence of mobile phones, while high achievers can focus in the classroom regardless of the mobile phone policy. However, they were also quick to point out that results do not implicate the idea that mobile phones and other similar gadgets cannot be used to boost learning, and that there are only drawbacks to these things, such as getting tempted to text, play games, and chat on social media. It is still quite a debate whether it is ideal for children to use their phones while in school. Back in January, Taiwan has expanded an existing ruling, obliging parents to limit their kids' usage of computers and similar gadgets, and stating that excessive usage can make children, quote, mentally and physically ill. Russia has made no secret of the fact that it wants to reduce its dependence on foreign software, especially applications and platforms from Western companies. The nation's government has been keen to encourage domestic firms to buy homegrown software and hardware, but it's about to go one step further by developing its own smartphone OS. Over 95% of Russia's tech is currently sourced from foreign vendors, but the country's Minister of Communications wants to bring that down to 50% over the next 10 years, according to Russian daily newspaper RBC. A big step in that direction will be the development of a Russian smartphone operating system, and as ZDNet reports, the minister has announced plans to create an independent OS based upon Jala Sailfish. Jala has already met with Russian representatives to begin work on the new OS, but a timetable for its delivery has not yet been announced. Although Jala isn't a Russian company, it's Finnish, but the Linux-based Sailfish OS is an open source, which makes it much more attractive to the Russian government than other options with proprietary source code. Over 140 giant technology companies, privacy advocates, cryptology specialists, and government executives are urging President Obama to reject any proposal that would force companies to weaken their security and create government backdoors into their software. The letter, sent by the Washington Post, is signed by the likes of Apple and Google, as well as MIT scientists and some of Obama's own advisors. It advocates on behalf of companies who have come under fire from government officials that are decrying the new push for encryption and security in the wake of Edward Snowden's NSA revelations. End-to-end and full device encryption by default, found on new iPhones and the latest Android handsets, has been viewed by some as a problem for law enforcement agencies and national security because the data couldn't be accessed even if a warrant was issued. The same people have called on Congress and the executive to force companies to create backdoors into their software, supposedly only accessible by the U.S. agencies. But as the letter explains, that's only a fantasy, and weakening security with the hope that only the good guys get the access is beyond naive. Instead, President Obama is being urged to stand by companies and set the U.S. as an example of privacy and digital security. Despite the fear-mongering by some, the recent sentiment around cyber spying has been changing. The recent court case that struck down blanket spying of all U.S. phone calls is proof that privacy and security are finally being taken a bit more seriously. I'd like to thank NeoWin.net for today's tech news. The SMB Online Conference Series continues. This year's theme is Time to Thrive 2015. Speaker presentations in this year's event include Selling Fundamentals for Owners, Keeping Your Books Simple but Accurate, Building an Awesome Team to Take Your Business to the Next Level, A New Business Model for Success in the Cloud, Business Agile Strategy Execution, and more. Odd Tuesdays listeners can register for this conference at a 20% discount by using coupon code ODDTUESDAYS, that's one word, ODDTUESDAYS, on checkout. Please visit SMB Online Conference to check out the full conference details. Thank you for joining the show today. A reminder that if you're listening to our show on iTunes, please be sure to check out our website at oddtuesdays.com for past episodes and hyperlinks mentioned in today's show. Please join us in our next episode on June 2nd. I look forward to having you join us then. Take care.